Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I suppose we can rename the show After Football. This time of the year, that's what it is, right? After Football with Amy Lawrence. Happy Almost Friday. How about that? And there is football, the kickoff to week number two. And so we are here to go through the drama that is the NFC East, the soap opera that is the NFC East, and then ultimately to get you set for the football weekend, both college and pro. But you know, we need your help in choosing the after hours game of the week. It's the poll we put up every show this time of the week, our final show of the week. And last week it was a landslide. We need to keep track of this. It was a landslide last week, and your choice of Chiefs and Browns did not disappoint. Well, we need to keep track of two things. How many weeks in a row is it the Chiefs that are part of the game of the week? And how many weeks in a row does your choice for game of the week live up to the hype and live up to the expectations? So we'll have that poll up very soon. Thanks so much for hanging out with us as we hurdle our way toward the weekend. Whether you're crawling, whether you're flying, doesn't matter. We'll get there eventually. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I have already heard from a lot of pretty frustrated New York Giants fans. And I would be frustrated too. I'm frustrated for you. I'm frustrated for them because it seems like a lot of the times one step forward, two steps back. And how often do the Giants cough up late leads or at the very least opportunities to win because they didn't take care of their business? The fact that they had so many penalties at the worst possible times. And I'm not telling you Washington was scot-free, that their hands were clean in all of this, because they weren't. But what New York did in the second half was actually should have been enough to win the game. The fact that they scored on five of their six drives in the second half, it doesn't feel like that, does it? They scored on five of their six drives in the second half. However, five of those scores included just one touchdown. So four field goals around a touchdown in the second half. So missed opportunities there. And then the penalties over and over and over again. We saw Daniel Jones rush 50-plus yards or run 50-plus yards. It's kind of funny when a quarterback takes off. He's not rushing. He's running. And we made the joke. We all made the joke. I made the joke. My joke's on Twitter. You can check it out. This time it wasn't Daniel Jones tripping over a white line on the field. No, it was a holding penalty. And whether or not you think it was a cockamamie soft holding penalty, I know no one says cockamamie on the radio. Whether or not you think it was a legit penalty, the fact is, it was a flag. It didn't need to be a hold. And it negated a 50-plus yard touchdown run for Daniel Jones. So those types of penalties over and over. And yes, the offensive line certainly bears some responsibility. Losing a key piece, a captain, to an injury, a gruesome broken leg, thinking of Nick. But 163 yards rushing by the Giants. Five scores on six drives in the second half. Nearly 400 yards of offense. And a Daniel Jones that was earning rave reviews after the break. Not to mention You're facing an NFC East opponent, and you cannot afford to cough up these kinds of chances. And so I don't want to say here we go again, because it's not exactly the same, but you know what feels eerily familiar, frustratingly familiar for Giants fans? 0-2 for the fifth straight year. 0-2. Now, it's easy to blame Dexter Lawrence for getting an offsides penalty on what was the first field goal attempt by Dustin Hopkins in the fourth quarter with 5 seconds to go. Sure, it's easy to pinpoint that is the reason they lost, but I'm glad Joe Judge stood up for Dexter Lawrence. Was it a brutal penalty? Hell yes. Is it one that he's going to have to live with? Yeah. Does it seem like it's simple enough, black and white enough, if he doesn't jump off sides on that kick and the kick is wide right, did the Giants win? Well, at that point, they had the lead. So I suppose you could boil it down to if you want to, but that's not fair and it's not accurate. No game ever boils down to one moment, one snap, one mistake, one call, one decision. It doesn't. Because as I just mentioned, the Giants had multiple opportunities to take a much bigger lead in this game and failed to do it. But I can understand why Giants fans are frustrated. Now, on the flip side, whoo, Washington. If Ron Rivera's team is going to live like this the rest of the season, you all better buckle up. Holy cannoli heart palpitations in the first 2 weeks. The game against the Chargers that did not go their way, now taking advantage with a backup quarterback, elevated to starter, taking advantage of mistakes by the Cowboys, the door left wide open, open enough for Washington to drive a truck through. And good for Washington, taking advantage of the mistakes. That's part of sports. It's part of competition. One of the things that I always say divides the good teams from the bad teams, the winning teams from those who aren't going to compete, the teams that have a chance to make some noise. If you make your opponents pay for your mistakes, or for their mistakes, excuse me, you make your opponents pay. If you capitalize on mistakes by your opponent, if you score points off turnovers, if you don't squander opportunities, to me, those are signs of a good team, or at least a team that gets it. Maybe it doesn't work out every time and you're rolling with the punches. But teams that play you, opponents that you face need to know, when you screw up, we're going to use that against you. And Washington did that. Though I can imagine there's a fair amount of relief for Ron Rivera and for his staff on this Thursday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We have got a lot to break down, but I feel like I did on Monday night. Sure, there's a ton that happened earlier in the game, but so much drama in those final few minutes that I'm going to start there and then kind of fill in the blanks. Taylor Heinicke making his second career start. And boy, was it a roller coaster ride in the fourth quarter alone. And actually, even as you look at the way the second half played out, I mentioned that the Giants scored on 5 of 6 possessions, though 4 of those scores were field goals. There was a point late third quarter into the fourth quarter where the teams exchanged 4 field goals in a row. It's like just the special teams becoming ever more special. And so about 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, well then, it's like when a movie script decides to pull out all the tricks, all the twists and turns, they save it for the very end, and you think it's the end, but it's not the end. Then there's another twist. You think it's the end, but it's not the end. Oh, no, more. There's, oh, no, wait, there's more. Yeah, that's what it was like for Taylor Heinicke and Washington. So they're trailing 26-20 after the most recent Giants field goal with about 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And I hope you didn't miss it. From that point on, there's a lot of note-taking.
Spread formation, three receivers left, two to the right. Heinicke taps the ball, throws it right side. It's caught. McKissick down the sideline. J.D. McKissick is forced out of bounds, crossing into Giant territory, and he is a blur. 56 yards. Heinicke fakes the handoff, guns it. End zone, right corner. Oh, what a grab! Touchdown! Ricky Seals-Jones, the tight end. 19 yards. And Washington with a chance to take the lead.
What are you, Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs offense? Two plays, 75 yards, and the Washington football team. It's so frustrating because I want to say the Redskins. Just Washington football team doesn't flow. I can't wait till they have a new logo and a new mascot, but that's totally beside the point because it's not happening this year. The two plays, the quick strike ability, and Washington is in front with about 4.5 to go. Of course, a lot of time left, as we saw. Anything can and will happen. So the Giants don't capitalize on their next possession. So it's the only time, actually, in the second half when they do not score on one of their drives. However, we saw the highest of highs with Taylor Heinicke. Then next possession for Washington might as well have been a possession for the Giants because it's the lowest of lows for Taylor Heinicke.
Gibson to the right of Heinicke in a shotgun set. Heinicke back, throws it right, intercepted by Bradbury at the 20-yard line. He jumped the route. We said it all game long that Heinicke was loose with the football, and James Bradbury, who's had a rough night, gets a huge interception with 2:16 to go.
A little redemption, right? That's what the games offer. That's what the length of a game, the four quarters, typically offer for athletes if they're not benched. If they're still out there on the field, well, you still got to do your job. And you can always change the narrative and make up for a big mistake as long as there is time left on the clock. So Bradbury picks off Taylor Heinicke with 2 minutes to go in the game, just over 2 minutes to go in the game. And so it's this kind of back and forth that we saw almost the entire second half with these two teams. Now, division rivals, right? So there's so much familiarity. Familiarity breeds contempt. We know these games are always tight because these teams, these franchises, they know each other well. They're not intimidated by one another or by the opposing stadiums, though it seemed fairly obvious the Giants were struggling with the noise in Landover, Maryland. So that was impressive. The Washington fans, you deserve a lot of credit. So as I say, it was a roller coaster ride, or if you will, a seesaw back and forth.
35-yarder for the lead. Yes, right through. And the Giants have the advantage, 29-27.
Ian Eagle with the calls on the Westwood One Radio Network. As I was watching the game and thinking about how could I tweet something witty, I really couldn't come up with anything. I think it was something along the lines of Gano, you know. Or, you know, Gano, that was the best I could come up with. I am not very clever, at least not when it comes to those types of things. I'm always amazed by people who come up with really cute and like witty things to tweet. And I'm just kind of boring, which is why no one cares what I tweet. Unless it's about my dog or my grandmother, then people really get excited, which I don't know what that means about me and my career choice. Either way, yet another lead change there in the fourth quarter as we're getting down toward the wire, but the Giants have plenty of time. And again, people are going to focus on this particular moment. They're going to focus on what happens as they go down to the wire. Giants are up 29-27, right? And there's time left. We're inside the 2-minute warning, but this is something that every team practices every single week. They call it the two-minute drill, but they work on these situations. How do you advance the ball quickly down the field? Well, yet another impressive drive for Taylor Heinicke. As we said, he had the quick strike with the two plays, the 75 yards. Then he has an interception. Then it's right back out there on the field with no time to waste, and he moves the... Almost said it again. He moves the Washington football team into position and has the opportunity to put a game-winning drive next to his name.
Two receivers left. McLaurin's the slot man. Heinicke in a shotgun set. Drops back, looks right, throws right, completes it on the right for Humphreys. He's got the first down as he beat Darnay Holmes, and he gets dragged out of bounds. And now Washington's in field goal range to win it. Hopkins is set. Way takes the snap, gets it down, kick on its way, and it is good. But there's a flag on the play.
He missed it.
Oh, he missed it.
He missed it. There's a flag down. Let's see what the flag is.
Offside on the defense number 97.
Oh,
it's a five-yard penalty and a first down.
You've got to be kidding me. I have no rooting interest in this game, but that is the most frustrating thing ever. But again, it's a string of penalties over the course of this game in which the Giants were essentially shooting themselves in the foot. I also really dislike that cliche, but is it not applicable here? Are you kidding me? So I'm in the car at this point and I'm listening to the Giants radio broadcast, which is what you just heard, Bob Papa and Carl Banks. And Bob initially calls this a good field goal. So whatever his angle was, I guess he wasn't looking at the officials who signal good or no good. And so he initially calls it good. And then Carl Banks interjects, no, he missed it. I think he missed it. Oh my gosh, there's a flag. I mean, are you kidding me? James, what was your reaction as a diehard Giants fan? Sorry to out you at this particular moment.
It just seemed like that was the way it was going to go tonight. You know, I mean, just the Giants shot themselves in the foot, like you said. It's just, it was all night. And it wasn't even just this play. It was
no.
The Darius Slayton drop touchdown, which would have essentially iced the game just minutes before that.
The holding penalty on Jones' touchdown run.
Right. It was just the whole game. They just couldn't get out of their own way. It just seemed like something like this was building.
Yeah, you don't even have to be a fan to be frustrated by this type of football or these types of mistakes, because they're inexplicable. They don't have to happen. It's a lack of discipline. It's a lack of focus. It's a lack of just being locked in and having situational awareness, not to mention looking down and making sure that you're not jumping early. So as that the awareness dawns on the Giants broadcast team, well, then Washington gets to line up for another kick 5 yards closer.
A 43-yard attempt. Cheeseman to snap it. Way, the holder. From 43 yards away for the win, Hopkins curls it through. Washington gets it done. 30-29. Hopkins hits the game winner.
Ian Eagle on the Westwood One Radio Network. Again, I can understand, regardless of whether or not you're a Giants fan, supreme frustration because these penalties didn't have to happen. The hold that we talked about on the Jones touchdown run, the drops, just the sloppiness and the again, lack of discipline and taking care of your job. But it's not the fault of Dexter Lawrence. That I will agree with, and you'll hear from Joe Judge and from Daniel Jones. But the facts are the facts. As much as Saquon Barkley wants to kind of push back at those critics, the facts are the facts. 5 straight years in which the Giants have started 0-2. And while it's not the final nail in the coffin, you certainly, certainly can be a playoff team after you start 0-2. We see teams do it almost every year, or a 1-4 start, or even an 0-3 start in recent seasons. But it's not easy. Now, in the NFC East, maybe it's a little bit easier to climb out of that hole, but you've already put yourself so far behind with moments that you could control. And that's the part that frustrates me to death. So we'll hear from the Giants. Of course, we'll hear from Washington, Coach Rivera, Taylor Heinicke. Big night for him, though it was anything but boring. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Two receivers left. McLaurin's the slot man. Heineke in the shotgun set. Drops back, looks right, throws right, completes it on the right for Humphreys. He's got the first down as he beat Darnay Holmes, and he gets dragged out of bounds. And now Washington's in field goal range to win it. Hopkins is set. Way takes the snap, gets it down, kick on its way, and it is good. But there's a flag on the play.
He missed it.
Oh, he missed it.
He missed it. There's a flag down. Let's see what the flag is.
Offside on the defense, number 97. It's a 5-yard penalty and a first down.
A 43-yard attempt. Cheeseman to snap it. Way, the holder. From 43 yards away for the win, Hopkins curls it through. Washington gets it done. 30-29. Hopkins hits the game winner.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Stunning. A stunning turn of events, even in those final 5 seconds of game time between Washington and New York in Landover, Maryland tonight, kicking off week number 2 of the NFL season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Just saw this tweet from a Washington football fan. He says, "It's going to be extremely difficult to fall asleep tonight after watching my WFT squeeze out the W. My heart could not take it. Ron Rivera needs to practice the squad hard the next few weeks." Oh, that'll do it. Okay, let's practice the squad harder. I think there were some real great signs, some flashes, if you will, of what this offense can look like. J.D. McKissic getting really involved with Washington tonight. Also, we know what Terry McLaurin is. I know at one point Taylor Heineke missed. Was it a wide open... there was a wide open receiver that he missed in the end zone, it felt like. And so there were a couple of moments that I'm sure he would like to have back, not to mention the interception late. But still, the fact that he's more comfortable than someone they would have just brought in or someone who is just new to the system, that's a nice luxury for Ron Rivera to have with Ryan Fitzpatrick unavailable for the next 2 months. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll look at the storylines behind the stories of this game with Benjamin Albright Pruss. We'll get you set for week number 2 of the NFL season. Always love to ask analysts, especially early in the year, what storylines, what games are really fascinating to them, because everyone seems to have a different answer. So Benjamin Albright will join us from Denver at the top of the hour, about 30 minutes from now. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Taylor Heineke was a guest on the NFL Network set on the field following the game. And, you know, he was competing, sort of, for the starting job in preseason. And now he gets an on-field audition. And for now, he gets to show what he can do.
I prepared every week like I was a good starter because, again, you know, the NFL is crazy. Any given moment, you can be in there. So last week I was prepared. This week, on a short week, we try to, you know, fit it in. But I think we had a good game plan, and I think we executed pretty well. I have confidence that I can do it. So if those guys in the locker room and the facility believe in me, that's all that matters. You know, I think they do. So let's try to keep this ball rolling.
I love the fact that he says the NFL is crazy. That's something that I say. But yeah, from an insider's perspective, the NFL is crazy because you can be out there on the field at any point. How many players have we already seen exit with injuries, which means other guys are getting the call? And if you're not ready, it's going to be glaring. It's going to be painfully obvious. But as we've heard all week, the team is behind Taylor. They really like him. The locker room believes in him, and that's... It's intoxicating if you are a quarterback who has to step into a situation like this. It's heady to have people believe in you.
You know, I can feel the energy. You know, they all made it know that they're behind me. They believe in me. So, again, it gives me a lot of confidence, and it lets me go out there and play pretty loose. So, you know, it means a lot that those guys in the facility, those guys in the locker room believe in me, and that's all I can ask for.
So Taylor Heineke on the NFL Network set following this win, his second career start. A little more tempered from one Ron Rivera postgame.
It was all we had to do was get in the field goal position. You know, we felt we had a good shot at it. And, you know, we got that opportunity. We're fortunate to pull this one out. It's a good football team over there. You know, they got some good athletes, some good football players. They made some plays. You know, they put themselves in position to win as well. And, you know, the unfortunate part of this game is somebody's got to lose.
He's being very generous there. We were fortunate to pull this one out. And while they did get the benefit of a late flag, as I say, there were plenty of mistakes, plenty of opportunities or missed opportunities from the Giants that allowed that door to remain wide open for Washington. So as for Heinicke, his numbers at the end look like this: 34 of 46 for 336 yards, a couple of touchdowns, that late interception that could have been just as damaging had the Giants not made a mistake even later in the game. He also had just one sack. And so the team stood up pretty well in front of him. And again, we've heard his teammates, including those who are on the receiving end of his passes, really stump for him and believe in this guy.
He's always ready for his moment. And, you know, I love guys who are always ready for their moment, always prepared. He doesn't complain about the reps that he gets in practice, even when he wasn't a starter. He just makes the most of his opportunities. That's all you can ask for. He did a great job controlling the tempo tonight. You know, he got us into hurry-up situations. He slowed it down. He made great passes. He took what the defense gave him, and he just gave playmakers a chance to make plays. And when you got a guy like that, you just want to continue to make plays for him.
Terry McLaurin, if you have him, I hope you started him on your fantasy team. 11 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. Scary Terry is back, baby. So that's the Washington perspective. We'll hear from Joe Judge, who refuses to blame this on Dexter Lawrence, but certainly is frustrated. And then Daniel Jones, how do the Giants bounce back from this? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, you're going to need that, because during this next commercial break, during the update, we will make sure you have the poll. The After Hours Game of the Week is what, peeps? We need you to choose it. And come on, don't be obvious. Don't be cliche. So again, on Twitter or on our Facebook page, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Hash, Jones from the gun. Jones skies it to the left side. Separation. Caught! Darius Slayton over the shoulder grab for the touchdown. 33 yards. Perfectly placed by Daniel Jones. And the Giants go in front.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, did the Giants not have a healthy dose of each one of those hits, misses, and messes. The voice guy nailed it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you look at Daniel Jones' numbers, 22 of 32, 249 yards. He had a touchdown. He also ran 95 yards and could have run for 150 yards if his long scamper that resulted in another touchdown had held.
Stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there.
That's not fair. That's not the right one. Though, of course, that is also Ian Eagle on the Westwood One Radio Network. But that's last year, and Jones had a clear path. He was able to get all the way into the end zone without tripping over a white line or an extra stiff tuft of grass. But there's a holding penalty that had nothing to do with the play. It just so frustrating. And so Jones, again, could have been 150 yards rushing to go along with 250 passing and three touchdowns. That's not exactly how it looks. The offensive line was porous, and they lost Nick Gates, which I know was jarring to that unit again. And to have him carted off the field early in this game after sustaining a really painful and gruesome looking leg injury, no doubt was hard for his unit, his offensive line, to stomach. That is the game, of course. But I mean, Jones was their leading rusher and did some really nice things. The problem is they didn't capitalize on the opportunities that they had to have. And of course, the penalties over and over and over again, 11 flags, and a lot of them on the offense they make you want to bang your head against the wall. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What is the After Hours game of the week? We've got the poll up now on Twitter, or you can find it on our Facebook page. As always, you can reply and you can write in your own game. If you don't see it in the poll, Twitter limits us to four. Can't help it. We got to play by the Twitter rules. And so what is the game of the week? And let's talk about these various games. I plan on going through and breaking down what I see in each of these games. I always enjoy looking at games before the weekend and giving you the major questions, because I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know how things are going to play out. That's not the type of radio show I do. It's also completely false. When you make predictions, not only does the NFL point and laugh in your face, but you're guessing. So I don't have any issue with people who make predictions, but I don't do them because I'd rather talk about storylines and the intrigue of what's actually happening. So you're more than welcome to make your own predictions. We can talk about the games. And every single one of these games, there's major, major fascination, because here we are at week number two. And while 0-2 is not the end of your season, it certainly is not a popular place to be after 2 weeks, not with the fans, of course, not in the standings. And there's some teams that are hanging on a precipice here. We can overreact following week number one, but if you go 0-2, it becomes so much more challenging, not just because of your two losses, but because of your division and because of the way the playoffs are set up. So we'll talk about the games. I'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4227 or on Twitter and Facebook. And I always try to pick the game that no one else picks. So I'm assuming a lot of people are going to vote for Chiefs-Ravens. So I'm probably going to go in a completely different direction just because. Joe Judge has got to be furious about the mistakes, because he's the kind of guy that wants things to be done the right way. He applauds his guys, even in the if they lose. If you remember the first half of last year, he kept saying over and over, these guys are making progress, they're getting it, we're getting close, and he's right. How many games they lost in the first half of last year, which were by 3 points or 2 points or even a single point, and here they are doing it again, right, to start. Well, not week one, but week number two here. And so very often it comes down to the little things, and the little things are what drive Joe Judge batty.
We have to address it and just make sure that we keep putting players in position to prepare them properly and make sure we can work it and execute it the right way when it comes up right there. Obviously, something we don't want to have, all right, something that's not acceptable. But look, we're not going to turn around and put this game on any one player or one play. There's enough things we can clean up as a team. We can play better going forward. So we're not going to go ahead and isolate one incident and say that's the difference in the game right there. So we got to make sure we do a lot of things better for 60 minutes.
I appreciate that from Joe Judge. It's the perspective that you have to have as a coach. You cannot put a loss or a win on the shoulders of one single guy. That's ridiculous. Very often, though, we do that with our quarterbacks. How many people out there would say this is Daniel Jones' fault? If they win the game, he plays brilliantly. And look, there's evidence, there's proof that he's getting it in year number three as an NFL quarterback. Now that they've lost, well, Look at all the mistakes. Look at all the missed opportunities. And it's just not that simplistic. There's so many moving parts to a football team and to a football game. So I appreciate that from Joe Judge. As much as it is easy to look at the Dexter Lawrence offsides penalty with 5 seconds to go and say, are you kidding me? He misses the kick, but you give him a free one, and you're not even part of the play. Jumping offsides did not cause him to miss the kick. Just it's frustrating. I would agree, and I understand, but Joe Judge refuses to say that the loss is about Dexter Lawrence and his mistake.
A tough lesson. It's a lesson you got to learn. A lesson we all have to learn, you know, as a team, that we don't repeat the mistakes one by one. We've got to see that, make sure we clean it up. I'm not going to put this on Dex, and I don't want to put this on Dex. Okay, Dex's a good player. He's a strong piece of our locker room. He's a good teammate. He's fun to coach. He's productive for us as a player. I'm not going to put this on Dexter Lawrence, okay? There's things we all have to do better as professionals, all right, but I'm not going to put this on any one player or one situation.
That's the right way to lead. And I would assume that his locker room will follow along too, because if you're in the throes of the action, in the midst of the battle, so to speak, you know
the various ways that you could have affected the game differently. And if you want to boil it down to points, a holding penalty that negates a touchdown is far more damaging than an offsides penalty that negates a field goal. The problem is there was no time left on the clock and no time left to recover. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Daniel Jones does do a lot of really good things. As I mentioned, he's just that close to having three touchdowns and nearly 400 total yards of offense. As it is, it's an 0-2 start. And now what? How do the Giants back bounce? OMG. How do they bounce? Don't laugh at me, James. How do they bounce back from this?
Certainly disappointing, and it hurts. We've got to get past that. We've got to, get past that and get to work and put our heads back down and, focus on what we need to do to improve as a team.
I like what Saquon Barkley had to say. By the way, the running back for the Giants, who was questionable during the week, and people were wondering if he really shouldn't have been cleared from that torn ACL, didn't look great in the opener. But I suspect that was more about what the Broncos front defense, the front line of the defense, was doing. And so he had some explosive runs in this game. 13 carries, not a lot of room, but he did break a few, 57 yards. And he was asked about them being 0-2 for a fifth consecutive start.
Not to panic. There's no need to panic. I know, no offense to you guys, everyone's going 0-2. This is again, it's a broken record. The Giants doing this again. But at the end of the day, only people we got is those guys in the locker room. And we got to look in each other's face and say, we got to stop it.
We got to stop it. You've got to figure out a way to stop the bleeding. First things first. Emergency tourniquet, then you can deal with how to repair it. But you got to stop the bleeding. So the sense of urgency becomes ever greater now for teams that fall into an 0-2 hole, but certainly for the Giants. And I do wonder, if this starts to feel all too familiar for the front office. We know there's pressure on Daniel Jones. It's year number three, right? We recognize that he's got to get it at some point. But because it's another 0-2 start, does the front office start to get nervous, maybe a little more panicky than what they would? They're not going to make any changes now. And actually, for those of you who are watching the game, I appreciate that Troy Aikman was defending Daniel Jones and saying, hey, my first two seasons were tough. It was messy. I didn't play well. And about year three, you start to figure it out and things look differently and you can draw on experience and you are much more equipped to go out there and run an NFL offense. So I actually really appreciate what Troy Aikman had to say, because he could have piled on to Daniel Jones like very many other people are doing. We see it a lot with Jones. It's almost like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He makes these incredible throws. He can make any throw on the field when his feet are set. And yes, the offensive line allows him to see a ton of pressure. So four official sacks, and then you throw in the quarterback hits, and you're talking about relentless pressure. And we know what that Washington defensive line is all about. So no doubt, having the added pressure of having to sidestep or move around or constantly use the eyes in the back of your head, that's not easy. He's not out there on an island, though. He's got some weapons around him. And there are times, let's be completely frank about it, there are times when he holds onto the ball too damn long. And I am yelling at the TV, throw it away! Throw it away! A third-year quarterback has to know when not to hold onto the ball. You've got to have that clock going off. But then you see where he drops the ball to Darius Slayton, and it's perfect. He drops it into his breadbasket, where Slayton is the only guy who can catch it. It's absolutely perfect. Slayton streaking down the field into the corner. Perfect timing, perfect position. Doesn't have to turn around. The ball just drops right into his hands. Absolutely perfect. But the turnovers at the worst possible times and then not getting rid of the football when you're about to take a massive sack, those things are also frustrating. And he's got to he's got to have a sixth sense and get over those things this year, because that's what will get him booted from his starting job. And so Giants deserve the questions about being 0-2. They do. I don't think it's over for them, but I can imagine in the building, the ownership, the front office, ooh, this feeling in my gut, not again.
I'm not getting fleeced.
You got to be kidding me. Not again. And so it's the NFC East, where I don't expect any of the teams to run away with the division. But you've made your job that much harder. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll certainly take your thoughts as we head through this next hour. I'd love to rack up the phone calls and talk about the schedule that's in front of us for week number two. But if you look at the NFC East now, Philadelphia, of course, has to play this weekend, 1-0. Washington at 1-1. Dallas 0-1 and is in our game of the week poll. The Cowboys and Bucks didn't make it into the poll last week because we don't do it till after Thursday Night Football is done. However, Cowboys on the road at the Los Angeles Chargers. So they start out first in Tampa, then they go cross country to take on the Chargers. That's quite the swing going from Raymond James to SoFi Stadium. And then if you look at the next few weeks of their schedule, just two back-to-back games, one against an NFC East opponent, the Eagles, then it's the Panthers and the Giants. So they get to do three games in a row before they hit the road against the Patriots. You think there'll be any type of interest in that game at all? No? Okay. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, burning questions with Benjamin Albright. We'll start with Thursday Night Football, but we'll branch out into week number two. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.